there's a sense in which the Word of God is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Our interaction with that and the Holy Spirit is absolutely God, and that's all fine and good. But mm-hmm. sometimes it's really hard to tell the difference between the sandwich that I had for lunch and the Spirit of God. And I always imagined that Jeremiah was better than that. I imagine that Jeremiah never struggled to tell the difference between the sandwich that he had for lunch and the Holy Spirit.
Speaking of going, you're listening to Speaking of Going, a podcast about life, friendship, our hope, and how Christ's love compels us to go to forgotten communities around the globe. And because we've experienced Christ's love, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard.
Lord, it's 9:38, and Ben and I both want, somehow or another, our podcasts to draw people into mission. And we pray that you'd guide us today in this, that you'd use us as part of your tool, that people might go to the unreached, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I really like that alarm you have. That's awesome. And it's a great way to start this podcast.
I hadn't even thought about the today, the 9:38 watch alarm is the beginning of the podcast.
It's perfect. Hello, everyone. I'm Ben, or Ben, depending on where you are in the country, former reluctant missionary.
And I'm Randy, a former atheist turned missionary leader. And we're here today with this podcast in hopes that God will use it precisely to call some people into his harvest field. So we were just talking a little bit here about how sometimes the Word of God feels rather uncertain. It comes to you, and there's a sense in which, is this the Holy Spirit, or is this the sandwich that I had for lunch? and you really don't know, but you're doing the best you can with the tools you have to understand, what's God showing me? And then you make decisions that you think will be pleasing to him, that are consistent with his Word. And then only after the fact, when you look back on it with 20/20 hindsight, then you say, ah, yes, truly that was the Word of the Lord.
Yeah, it's so easy to think and look at these. I mean, I have a lot of, like, you know, spiritually awesome people in my life, and I look at their story, I look at what they say, and I think, wow, that was really clear. It was really clear cut. It wasn't confusing. It's a great story. But yeah, it's not necessarily like that. That's a hindsight. And I think it's a blessing, right, to get to hear of people that have gone before us and their stories. But for me, it can kind of feel like I'm supposed to have that clear cut, non-confusing path in obeying God. But that's really just looking back.
So, it is. I think I've read a ton of missionary biographies, and each one of them, or most of them anyway, when they're laid out, the story makes sense from beginning to end, as if it's kind of like there's this narrative. God spoke to me, and then I had a plan. And then I did the plan, and then things went exactly the way I planned them. And people believed in Jesus and repented from sin, and the church grew. That there's overhyping. I love missionary biographies, but when I
it's a great picture.
When I look back on my experience together with you in Central Asia, the church where we were serving over a period of 12 years, it went from a few dozen to a few thousand Christians, which I really think is beautiful. And I'm looking forward to reading what plan it was that we were executing as a group that caused that to happen. Because from my ability to perceive, we were kind of just making it up as we went. But I'm sure that somebody else was aware of some kind of clear plan that we were following.
Maybe. or it kind of felt crazy.
Or at least when we look back on it with 2020 hindsight, yeah. I can imagine that we're all going to be in this situation where we start to trick ourselves into thinking, God showed us a plan, we did the plan, and the outcome was beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I've had so many discussions actually just this past two weeks probably with people that they're in a similar space of, who is this from? Should I do it? Is it the right thing? And this is all across the board. It doesn't even have to be about, you know, missions or anything. But
although we know that is the most important thing.
So when you mentioned in Jeremiah, which is what we're going to hit in just a second, I just thought, wow, that's a very clear reading of someone jumping into something. So anyway, go ahead. What do you got for us in Jeremiah? What do you think?
So I think in the end, we've got this whole, if you look in your Jeremiah chapter 32, we're just going to look at verse 6-8. There's a whole section here where Jeremiah acts in a way that looks foolish. He goes and buys a field in a city that's being conquered. But really the one little phrase that jumps out at me this week, it says, "Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord." So here's the prophet Jeremiah. I mean, the dude wrote one of the biggest prophetic books in the Bible. You look at his life, you get the idea that Jeremiah knew what the word of the Lord sounded like and somehow was good at writing it down and explaining it. And so this particular little section of Jeremiah 32, 6-8 gives me some sense that his hearing the word of the Lord wasn't so different from me hearing the word of the Lord, at least some of the times. Mm-hmm. So that's general idea. So I'll just read it. "And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, is coming to you. He's going to say, buy for yourself my field, which is at Anathoth, for you have the right of redemption to buy it. And then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the guard, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, buy my field, please, that is at Anathoth, which is in the land of Benjamin, for you have the right of possession, and the redemption is yours, buy it for yourself. And then I knew it was the word of the Lord." And so for me, what I see is a scenario where God said something to Abraham. It wasn't Abraham, was it? It was Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
Yeah, different guy. Abraham's a good guy too.
Similar story.
God said to Jeremiah, this is what's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And then that thing really did happen. And then Jeremiah knew that it was the word of the Lord. And so that sequence matches my experience where God sort of gives me an indication of what's going to happen. And then I see that thing happen. And then I'm like, oh, that was the word of the Lord.
So why is it so confusing? It's not always confusing, but in this case, it feels confusing. Why is it confusing when we have a God who really possesses the ability to not make it? I wouldn't say, maybe confusing is not the right word. Maybe I'm using the wrong word, but he has the ability to make it clear, and he has the ability to lay it out.
Yeah, I'm looking at this one. You've just helped me to question the applicability of this directly to my life, because here it was laid out, this is exactly what's going to happen in very clear terms. And then that exact thing happened. And then he knew it was the word of the Lord. Hmm. Most of the examples I have, it's more like, God told me what approximately what was going to happen. And then I took action And then approximately that thing happened. And then I knew in my spirit it was from the Lord.
So actually, you read into Jeremiah thinking this was, I mean, just then you think it was clear for him. Because to me, when I was reading, I felt a little bit like he's doing something that is so different from probably the average person thinking, you know, their city's about to be taken over. I don't know. I'm reading it different, but it does say, he does say it's the word of the Lord. But to me, maybe I'm reading it through my own personal lens where it could be confusing. But
no,
he's doing something so different that it, how would he know?
I mean, the fact that at the end he says, then I knew it was the word of the Lord. To me, that means prior to that, he didn't know it was the word of the Lord. So there was a clear statement, which was, this is what's about to happen.
Hmm.
And then it really did happen. And then he knew it was the word of the Lord. But in this particular case that's given, it's quite specific what's about to happen. Actually, there was one, I got to stop and just share this one story. So I was working in a company in Central Asia.
Uh-huh.
And I had a dream. And I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I went and sat in the window where I do my quiet time. And I wrote down my dream in my notebook. And I believed at that moment that this was a word from God. So the specific thing that I wrote in the notebook, I was like, I thought it was a symbol. I didn't realize that it was actually a prophetic word.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, the police are going to come to the building and they're going, this is what's about to happen. And so as I sat there, I had to repent of certain things that I was doing in the business that were not in accordance with faith for me. So there was repentance there. And so I thought the whole point was that God was calling me to repentance for some of the things I was doing. I woke up my wife, I shared the story with her, I shared my repentance with her. I went to a friend, a business partner actually at the time that was there. I shared the story with him and told him. And while I was still talking to him, the phone rang and the exact scenario I had described played out at our office. And it was like, I just remember thinking, okay, then I knew, like I believed it was the word of the Lord
that
telling me what was going to happen.
Hmm.
And I was taking action based on what I believed. And then it actually happened exactly as it was in the dream. And then I knew that it was the word of the Lord. So there's precisely one case in my life that I can put my mind to where it actually, there was a second one, too many stories now, but the second one was one time my visa was denied. It looked like I was not going to ever be able to go back there. And then it was like God told me, Randy, the visa is not dead. You need to resubmit the application just how it was. And you need to pray and believe along with the other people. And it's going to be approved. And then it was approved, and then I knew that that was the word of the Lord. So I was still actually doubting. I didn't want to be doubting, but I really was.
Yeah.
But then when it came through, I was like, yep, that was the word of the Lord. So anyway, that's kind of my parallel to this passage.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, the doubting part, I mean, I call myself reluctant, like I used to be reluctant to get into missions and to do it. Even while I was doing it, I was very reluctant, but it could be that I was just doubting the whole time, like I was confused, but I was still going because something in me felt that this was right. There's some hope here. This is exciting. You know, there's lots of descriptions that kept me going, kept pulling me on. And there were people along the way that would say stuff. But yeah, when I was first thinking, my wife wanted to do and be a missionary since she was like in the third grade. And I didn't know that until after we got married. And it was just a, it was a dilemma in our marriage. She had a different vibe about her when she would talk to people about going overseas. And I was just like, that's all hype. And really what I was saying was, I don't see the need here. I don't see the need. And when it finally came time for me to come to terms with it, I remember just having this kind of an argument with Ashley. And then at the end of it, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go take a walk and just see what happens. And I'm sure she was on her knees praying for me the whole time. Who knows what she was doing? But I went on this walk. And the only thing I asked was, okay, I'll do your will, God, and not mine. That was kind of my statement. And I asked, I was like, God, am I doing your will, even though I'm doing a really good thing? And I came back, and that was all it took. I was just like, you know what? I am open to discussion about doing God's will. And but the next step was not like clarity. That felt good to me, but the next step, it was really just more doubt. It was, if I consider going overseas, am I doing the right thing? Should I leave community? Is it right for me to tear off my relationship with friends and family that I've poured into? And so I ended up having dinner with a guy, and we didn't even talk about missions. I didn't bring it up. We were just talking about life, and he just randomly mentioned, you know, if you're thinking about going overseas, and if you're thinking about going to share Jesus with people, how could it be from Satan? And I remember thinking, I pulled out my journal, like the second we left that meeting, and I pulled out my journal and I was flipping back, and I was like, I know I said this, and I did. I wrote it down in my journal, a question: is this from God or is this from Satan? Who's this from?
Huh.
It's crazy. Then I knew this was from the Lord.
It's interesting. So the intersection of what God has said to you and the circumstances in the world, those two things come together in a way that then you know that this is the word of the Lord, that there's a sense in which the word of God is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Our interaction with that and the Holy Spirit is absolutely God, and that's all fine and good. But mm-hmm. sometimes it's really hard to tell the difference between the sandwich that I had for lunch and the Spirit of God. And I always imagined that Jeremiah was better than that. I imagine that Jeremiah never struggled to tell the difference between the sandwich that he had for lunch and the Holy Spirit. But I do. And then what I hear you saying is you have a similar experience where you're writing this down. Is this from God? You know what the Bible says. You have the Holy Spirit. But then this mm-hmm. other guy that also has the Holy Spirit, when he speaks something to you, there's something about those two or three people being gathered together.
Maybe.
That both have the Holy Spirit, that all at once, then you knew
mm-hmm.
that word was from the Lord. Some intersection of the real world experience and what God has said before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's easy to look back on it and wonder why he would make me toil through it. But at the same time, I don't know that if I knew the end of this, the big step that he was asking me to do, the path he was wanting me to get through, I think I would have been like, that's not me. I'm not capable of that. I can't do anything. That's so out there. That must not be from God. That's not me at all. You know?
I don't know.
Like, what do you think?
I'm thinking about it, I've talked about the question of whether or not we should share these podcasts more broadly or not. Like, what is the mm-hmm. risk versus reward basis? And one of the questions that came to me, one of the answers that came was, you know, people are looking for assurance that somebody knows what's going on. Hmm. And if the president of the organization has the same questions as everyone else, it might make people feel uncertain. And I think the situation is the human condition, the Christian condition, the world is, actually, John Piper and Randy Ferriman and Jeremiah and Ben Van Syk, we all struggle to tell the difference between the sandwich we had for lunch and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And there is this, I think maybe the reason God makes it that way, the reason he lets it be that way, is because that's part of his good plan. That's mm-hmm. part, I think the scriptures say something like, hope that is seen is no hope at all. That you can't hope for the thing that you already have. And so faith is the assurance of things promised and some other good stuff there, the conviction of things not seen. And hope that is seen is no hope at all. That the very essence of walking with Jesus has a lot to do with moving forward and trusting him and abiding in him when the circumstances that surround you required faith and you don't have all the answers to all the questions of what's going to happen next.
So he's not cruel. He's teaching us to trust.
Yeah, he's not obedient. I mean, that's the reality of this God that we serve, is he is just not obedient. That we want...
Finish that line. it sounds kind of strange.
It does.
Complete that sentence.
Yeah, I remember sitting down with a millennial friend, deep, deep, good friend in Central Asia, Central Asian guy.
No,
it wasn't you. It was a Central Asian person. You know, actually, it was a female. It was with my wife and her. And she's like, how do I get God to do what I want him to do? Like, what I want is for God to help me get out of this circumstance and get out of my country and to go study and live a good life. And I said, what do I need to do in order to get God to do what I want him to do? And I heard these words come out of my mouth and I thought, oh, that's pretty profound. That must be the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But what I said was, I don't think God is roaming around the world seeking people that will let him serve them. I think God is seeking people that want to serve him. And so it's not that he's cruel and it's not that he's obedient, and it's just that he's not actually looking for people that are self-focused and trying to figure out how they can manipulate God to do what they want to do. And so I think he's willing to be as clear as we need him to be to help us know what the next step of faith is. But I don't think he's willing to unfold the entire plan so that we can control him and make him be obedient to what he said he would do with clarity.
That's really good.
How does this, if you were going to advise somebody based on your experience of journeying with Jesus and figuring out the next step after your walk, what would you suggest is the listener's next step in discerning whether or not God would have them give up their home culture and their ability to think of themselves as smart and go and learn another language that makes them feel and look as stupid as you can imagine?
The next step. I mean, maybe it's a mental and a heart thing. I think generically I would say be open, but specifically I would say, and maybe this is because I have a tendency to do a cost-benefit analysis that's on my own terms, and it's not from the perspective of, you know, what God's actually trying to teach and show me. So maybe stop doing a cost-benefit analysis on a potential path forward. That's a really good question.
I mean, your next step was to take a walk, right?
My next step was to take a walk. And then the next step after that was to picture myself doing something a little bit crazy to my own mind, like just to kind of picture myself. And then I actually didn't want to talk about it with anyone. And so I chose not to talk about it for a while. And then I ended up talking, like I talked about it because I was kind of forced to talk about it. Like it's almost like God wouldn't let it go. But yeah, I think being open to talk about the future and stuff like that with people, to be a bit open with uncertainty and doubting and confusion, because there's no part of my story where I figured out the right thing by journaling just by myself. Like it was, maybe I got one or two things right, but the other 100 things that led me to where I am now or who I am now is because I brought other people along. And, you know, they said things to me, or they said things I didn't want to hear, or they questioned what I was doing, all that stuff.
From my organizational position, I'll say the next step is to go out and take a walk and ask, are you willing? That's what you did.
Yeah.
And if the answer to that is yes, then maybe the next step is to go on another walk and to say, does God want me to talk with somebody else about my willingness? Mm-hmm. And if the answer to that is yes, the third step might be to go to simusa.org and go to the go and next steps and spend 30 seconds filling out your information and have a conversation with one of our missions coaches, because our missions coaches are missionaries that are happy to spend 90 minutes talking with anybody that thinks that the next step for them might be a step towards long-term service overseas. So that's probably what I would suggest.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, Father, we do pray that you'd use this time together to call people into your harvest field. And we thank you for giving us the example of Jeremiah, who heard something from you, had an experience in the world that sort of showed him that that was your word, and then he knew that it was the word of the Lord. We thank you that you give us similar circumstances here in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you ever considered becoming a cross-cultural worker? Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that he has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where he is least known. Visit us at simusa.org/connect to talk to someone about serving in mission. This has been an SIM USA production.